Well, here we are at the beginning of a new year, and maybe you've set goals, maybe you haven't, maybe you don't do that kind of thing, you've given up on that, or maybe you have, and there's things like maybe a new diet plan, maybe something, some things that you want to accomplish this year. Yesterday, I was talking with someone, and their wife said, "Hey, I got you a personal trainer, and so you need to get to the gym," basically is what they were saying, and I thought, wow, okay. Or some places, maybe there's some places this year that you'd like to go. Some habits that you'd like to kick or something like that. You know what I mean? It's a good time of a year to have a new start and think about the direction that your life is heading. I like goals. I think that those are good things to consider as we think about the direction that we want to go with things. But as maybe you've read a book by James Clear entitled Atomic Habits, but he writes this. He says, "Goals are good for setting a direction, but systems are best for making progress." He says in another place, "If you want better results, then forget about setting goals. Focus on your system instead." We know that these kind of statements are true, right? Very simply, we have a goal to accomplish or do something, but for that goal to happen, there has to be this, 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 and this to happen to get to this. And so it's really important then to think about what are those habits, what are those processes, those systems that are going to get you there. And so often we like to say, well, I'd like to go and see this or go do this year. That's on my bucket list. Well, that's nice. So how are you going to get there? And what are the habits that you're instilling in your life? We have a door on the side of our house. I was just talking about it with someone. And for years, we had this door that we are just having issues with, and it needs replaced because the door wouldn't open. We had to use a screwdriver for a while. You know, I don't know if you guys have this in your houses, but things like this just to get out to the deck on our off of the side of our house, and we were using a screwdriver for years. And I'm like, oh, we got to replace that. And this year, we're going to replace that, and next year, no. So finally, this year, I was like, okay, let's get some quotes, let's figure out, you know, started to actually take some steps to making it happen, and it is getting there. So it is a lot closer, and soon it will be a done process. But it's one thing to say, hey, this year we're going to do this. It's a whole nother thing to actually take some steps and make it happen. And so it's a process, and there's steps. James Clear, he continues on, he says this, "Success is the product of daily habits, not once in a lifetime transformations." And so daily habits, it's those little things, it's the steps, it's the in and day out keeping going that piled up on top of each other makes a difference in reaching success and reaching goals. It's our habits. And so with that said, this morning as we turn into a new year, as we've been here now a couple weeks, I want to ask you to consider something that's bigger and greater than anything else that you have to consider that will affect every part of your life and will impact your life for all eternity. And it has to do with what do you have to say about Jesus? And what are you doing in your relationship with Jesus? Because if there is one thing that's going to affect every other thing, it's this one thing. And it's either do you follow him or do you not? Do you trust him or do you not? There's the question of whether you'll follow him, meaning, who are you going to follow? And then there's the question of what does it mean to follow him that we want to talk about this morning. As we talk about this, as we look at this passage this morning, it's not a question and it's not talking about the issue of how it is that anyone is saved and becomes a part of the family of God, because as Scripture makes it clear, salvation is a free gift of God. It is only by his grace through faith in Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior that anyone is saved. It's a free gift. But what we're talking about is what does a life lived following after Jesus look like for the one who has experienced that grace and mercy? Jesus has a whole lot to say about this, and very simply, he makes it clear this morning of what that means and what it looks like in the most basic of ways. And so, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, and John. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start there in verse 23, but as you turn there, and just to get the context of us to what we're talking about, verse 18 tells us that what he's just coming off of is there's this discussion and there's this question that he's asking them about who do people say that he is. And while people are giving all kinds of different answers, he brings in the question more directly to his disciples. And in verse 20, he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers and he says, you are the Christ of God. And Peter's answer is correct. And he goes on to tell them, well, here's what's in store for him. In verse 21, he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And so he's telling them, here's who I am now. Here's what's coming. And here's what's about to happen. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I've come for a purpose. And here's the reason I've come, and here's what's going to happen. It's not looking good. I'm going to come, and I'm going to suffer many things and be rejected and be killed, and on the third day, I'm going to raise again. And so let's read verses 23 through 27 together, as that's where we want to focus our attention in this little bit of time. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the angels, of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus here, he's told them what's in store for him as he's headed to Jerusalem where he's going to suffer, be killed, and he's going to rise again. And now, as we look at the passage before us, he's telling them, this is what it means to follow him. He's the Lord. He's the Christ. He's the one who gets to say what it means to follow after him. He doesn't leave it to us to determine what that looks like and what that means. He says, this is what following him is about. And so let's look at it closer. Look at what he says. If in verse 23, as it starts, it doesn't seem like he's just talking with his disciples anymore right here, but he's saying this to all who are present. He says, and he said to all. He's being upfront with them, and he's saying, I want you to consider the cost. I want you to understand what it means to follow should they do so. It's an open invitation to come and follow after him. It's not just for the few or the select, but it is for all to receive if they would. And he says, if anyone would come after me, then this is what it looks like to do so. And there's three conditions. There's three things about what he has to say. And maybe you're hearing this. There's conditions to what it means to, there's these things of what it means to follow after Jesus. I thought you were saying that salvation was a free gift, and here we're talking about conditions and sacrifices that are required to follow Jesus. And without a doubt, as what the Apostle Paul says, Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6, it says it is by grace that you have been saved, that you've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places. Salvation is fully an act of God, act of God's hands and something that he does. Only he can save. But what we're talking about here is something totally different. We're talking about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to follow after Jesus? You see, a life of discipleship is what we do because of what he has done. Trusting in Jesus and following after him means doing so even to the point of suffering. The follower of Jesus can say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, where he says this, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed at all, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so what are these things, as we want to know, if we're following after Jesus and we want to know what that means and what that looks like, what does Jesus say here that we all need to know in regards to doing that? Well, the first thing Jesus says to all those who are listening is this: following him is going to mean that a person will deny himself. He says, let him deny himself. What's that mean? He's saying the follower of Jesus is no longer living a life that is self-centered. Life is not about him anymore. It can't be because they're following him. The Christian life is not self-indulgent. It's focused on living for the glory of Jesus. It's handing control of one's life over to Jesus and saying, here it is, it's all yours. But not only is it denying himself, but next, what does he say? He says that the followers of Jesus must take up their cross daily. Well, what's that mean? Jesus has just told them that he's headed to Jerusalem where he's going to suffer and die. And why would someone who is following after him expect things to be any different for them if they're going to be like the one that they are following after? When the disciples heard this, surely they had a picture of what that meant. Surely they had seen someone take up a cross. Was that person ever coming back? No. It was a one-way journey. It was the utmost example in self-denial of laying one's life down to death. Here in Luke, it's the first use of the word for cross. And it's a powerful way to use it because what Jesus is saying is that taking of the cross up daily is a decision of living a life of following after him. It's a life of living a new life that's not for ourselves, but it's a life that is lived for Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. Is there a cost to following Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt. Look what Jesus says at the end of the chapter. Just go back, continue on, verse 57 there in chapter 9 in this that we're in right now. It says this, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me, but he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you. Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's a great cost. There's a great cost of following Jesus. He's not saying that you shouldn't care about your family and your friends and all those people who are close to you, but what he is saying, that is in comparison to your love for them and your care for them, your love for Jesus should be so much more to the point that it makes that look like that's that kind of love. In another place, he says the same thing. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 14 and start in verse 25. Because he's saying all similar stuff over and over. This is what it means to follow him. He's not sugarcoating it. He's not making it seem easier than it is. Now the great crowds accompanied him in verse 25 of chapter 14. And he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother, father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. These are strong statements. These are big statements, aren't they? This is a total laying down and giving and surrendering of your life to one thing, and that is following after Jesus. And Jesus says, take up your cross daily. It is a daily habit. Keep on doing it. We know we need to do that. And now he says, follow me in verse 23 as he ends that out. If following Jesus and being his disciples means taking up a cross, does that mean it's going to be easy all the time? No. Does it mean that there may be rejection? Yes. Does it mean that people may not understand you? Does it mean that they may criticize you? Yes. Absolutely. But here's the thing in this life of following after Jesus is that it's not about you. It's about him. And why is this so important? Verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Jesus' next statement, it brings it all into perspective. The most important thing in life is one's relationship with Jesus. And Sister Jordan is sharing, as you know, we have remembered the loss of loved ones already this year. It's always happening. Our life and our time here is going to come to an end, unless Jesus comes back before that. And so at the end of the day, the most important thing is where we stand in our relationship with him. And he says, think about this from an eternal perspective. Verse 25, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses or forfeits his soul? What's the point? If you're about saving your life, he says you're going to lose it in the end. He's saying you can live for self, for all your wants, for all your own comfort, whatever it looks like for you. Maybe it's money, power, influence, success in the world's eyes, etc. Maybe it's living for friends, but at the end of the day, if you haven't lived for Jesus, then you're losing it. You're losing it all. It's all be for nothing. There's plenty of examples of this. You just think of a person that comes to mind who has all of the above, but he doesn't have Christ, or maybe she doesn't have Christ. At the end of the day, they lose it all and more. But get this, Jesus says, lose your life for my sake, and you'll save it. He's saying, give it all up for Jesus. Give your heart to him. He's saying, surrender to him. Live your life for him, that the Lord may bless you as you use all those things that he's blessed you with, and that he would be glorified, and that's how you're going to save your life. Over and over, it's what Jesus says about how you find life, how you find true life, right? It's not in things, it's not in influence, it's not in power, it's not in material. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. John 12:25, whoever loves this, his life, loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world, guess what? Will keep it for eternal life. Over and over, what does Jesus say? He says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. You want true life? You can only find it in him. One commentator has said it this way: it is the one who loses, not wills to lose, but actually loses his life for Christ's sake, who saves it. When he gives up all for Jesus, he finds that he has entered that life which is life indeed. William Barclay, another commentator, says this: the Christian must realize that he has given life not to keep it for himself, but to spend it for others, not to husband its flame, but to burn himself out for Christ and for men. Life cannot be measured in terms of material things. And Jesus ends this passage that we're looking at today with strong words, verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. He's keeping it in perspective. And don't miss it. This life here is not all that there is. This idea that we're given these lives and we get to live them, we do with them as we want, and that's it. No, Jesus is saying, no, there is more. Keep it in perspective and have an eternal perspective. He's saying the day is going to come whenever he comes again. And there is a judgment that is going to happen, and you don't want to be ashamed, him to be ashamed of you on the day that he comes, then don't be ashamed of him. To be ashamed of Jesus and his teaching now, he says, is to ensure that he will be ashamed of us on that glorious day whenever he returns. Friends, this morning, what Jesus has to say to each one of us is huge. And if you haven't yet decided to follow after Jesus this morning, hear the invitation of finding true life. Life eternal. True life is found in Jesus. Know that he's so glorious. He is so precious. He is so worth losing your life for. But know this, know that following after Jesus is not an easy thing, and sometimes it may cost you, and it does cost you your very life. Maybe you've decided to follow Jesus. If that's true, to truly follow Jesus is a life of self-denial and surrender to living the ways of Jesus. And while salvation is a free gift of God's grace, the life of a Christian is one that is a daily habit, every day, surrendering all of it, all of your life, to follow Jesus. It's a life of striving to live like Jesus in your words, in your actions, in your example, in your attitudes, in your ambitions, in your dreams, and in your desires, in every single way, and saying, Lord, it is all for you. The first two imperatives given here are denying and taking up your cross. They're like moment in time kind of things, but it's saying that following Jesus is a daily thing. It is ongoing. Jesus says, daily, you got to do this. Maybe you've heard this said, that a decision that doesn't lead to a disciple is a deception. Just think about that. A decision that doesn't lead to being a disciple leads to deception. You may say, I decided to follow Jesus back on this date. I was saved back in whatever year. Great, great. That's wonderful. Are you following Jesus? Is he number one in your life? Does Jesus have first place in your life? There's a lot of stuff that can fill that spot of first place. Our wants, our views on things, our comfort, our plans, our dreams, our needs for comfort and friends, all of these things. And if Jesus had first place, how would things look different? Here we are, we live in this day. I was thinking a few weeks ago, like what is something that happens these days that never happened whenever I was a kid? And one of those things that, you know, I like to get pictures with, you know, my kids, or we're out and seeing something, it's like, hey, let's grab a picture. That was never happening before whenever I was growing up, because there was not this selfie camera kind of thing on our phones, right? We live in such a world where there's so much of that, because, you know, this whole self-focused thing, and Jesus is saying we need to deny ourselves. I was thinking about this passage and following, and just this idea of how tricky this can be, and how it's nothing easy about following someone sometimes. And we got these dogs at our house. We got Jack and we got Stanley now. And I know we should take these dogs for walks. It's probably a good thing for them, but it is not fun to take them for walks, because they are pulling and yanking every single way. And it's like, no, it could be so nice to get out for a nice walk, right? But all that you do is get dragged around every which way. And there's nothing fun about it. These dogs, they don't like to follow. They want me to follow them. And it's not easy. Sometimes following isn't easy. And that's what Jesus is saying. Put yourself in second place. You're not the one who's on the lead. And so in these coming weeks, we want to look at some of these habits that help us, because our goal is what? To follow Jesus, to be like Jesus. And so we want to develop habits that are going to help us to grow into his likeness. This morning, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Perhaps what Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, said once is what we're coming around, where he said this: I never made a sacrifice. He had truly lost all for Christ, but in return found his all in Christ. And like Paul, he could say, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Jesus must have first place. And so I want to encourage you just to consider Jesus' words here. It's the most important thing as we head into this coming year. Take up your cross. If you would come, to take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we have gathered together in this place, Lord, we thank you for your word and how you can make it so clear, so simple, that when it all comes down to it, that it is about denying ourselves and following after you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as a people, as a church family, as individuals who make that up, Lord, that every day it would be our daily habit to wake up and take our cross and to follow after you, to deny ourselves and say, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you lead, however, Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about you. And we'll give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.